Today, the message is focused on holiness and repentance. We've been, for a few weeks, we've been looking at the topic, that the series entitled What God Desires. And really, we're looking at what the Bible tells us are the things that God desires from us. And with the hope that as we meditate on them, we would learn more about it and also find ourselves being drawn towards the things that God desires. And so today we come to holiness and repentance. And although Psalm 51 in and of itself and within its context is a powerful passage, and I'm sure you are aware of the all the background and things like that, and maybe we can revisit it another time, but I'm not really going to go into the background of where this psalm comes out, which is, as you have, you might have subtitle in your Bible, which says, mine, the ESV version says, this is a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to David after he had gone in with Bathsheba. So this is a glitch in the career of David, so to say, King David, in which he committed adultery and committed murder of Uriah. And so that story itself is quite powerful, in relation to holiness and repentance. But I want to just draw some inferences from this text for today, and I want to focus on what holiness and repentance might mean. Just one angle, I suppose. I wonder what you think of when you hear the word holiness or like holy. For me, growing up in India, we're bombarded with images and so people who are who we call God men, right? Holy men. A few days back in the university, I think Department of South Asian Studies, there was a seminar on God men and God, the influence of God men in social media. And for me, that's the kind of the image that comes to my mind when I say explicitly holy men. And these are people who have renounced the world. They have gone away from, given up on family and on quote-unquote pleasures of the world. And they've renounced and living in isolation, so on and so forth. Again, when I was growing up, there used to be a term of almost insult that we used to call one another. We used to say, oh, you're so holy, holy. It's meant to be an insult that you are so disconnected from what's going on in the world. You don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't X, Y, Z, and holy, holy. And so those are the two, I guess, not very helpful images that come to my mind. When you look at the Bible, it's very interesting because Paul, Apostle Paul, would often go about calling people who believe in Jesus as saints, right? Saints, the church, the saints, the people who are sanctified, who are essentially holy. And I wonder if Paul has a chance to talk to us at Ictus. He might even call us saints. He might look at us as holy people. And I think that's remarkable because that's such a huge contrast to my imagined kind of paradigm of holy men. I think this has to do with the idea of renunciation, the idea of renouncing the world. And I think if we look at the Old Testament, it's not altogether a wrong concept, this renunciation. In fact, it's not wrong. It is part of who God is. Theologians would tell us that God is so holy that he is so separate from us. He is so other from us. And worshiping a holy God, Israel also must be holy. And part of that means to be separate from others, to be separate from the world, to be separated from the things of the flesh, to be separated from idolatry, from nations. And so this purity culture, this holy culture, emanates from God's holiness. So first thing we need to establish is that holiness, separateness from what is dirty, what is contaminated, is the right thing to do, is the right way that God reveals for us. In fact, during COVID-19, this is even more made clear, right? COVID-19 essentially is a culture of separation, of being distinct from something that's contaminated, separating ourselves from what has already been exposed. So it's kind of a conflict model with the outside world. So we self-isolate, we social distancing, we keep ourselves separate from the world. Because the idea is that out there, there's things that are exposed to the virus. They are contaminated. And so we need to separate ourselves from that contamination. if you put that in the perspective of sin and unholiness, that is essentially what holy men try to do. They try to separate themselves from the contamination of the world. So separation is an important part of holiness. Of course, this concept of renunciation is important in as far as the spread is negative, the spread is viral. Renunciation is important because sin spreads, the virus spreads, and so we keep ourselves separated from something that can contaminate us. It is in this context that Jesus comes into the world. And when Jesus Christ came into the world, he upset all these expectations. He started hanging out with sinners and tax collectors. The expectation of the Pharisees was that Jesus, as a holy man, should be renouncing the world, should be condemning sinners, condemning the world. And so Jesus even makes fun of this and says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, mingling with sinners, mingling with tax collectors. This was a huge upset to the expectations of holiness because he did not renounce or condemn sinners. He did not condemn the world. In COVID-19 terms, that would be he was being irresponsible. He was mingling at the risk of contaminating. What the Pharisees failed to see, what the religious elite failed to see when they were disappointed with Jesus, was that in the case of Jesus, there was a reverse dynamic going on. With the case of Jesus, he did not risk contamination because he is the cure. If we think of the spread of sin or the spread of unholiness as starting from unholiness, if you associate with something unholy, you become unholy. When it comes to Jesus, Jesus is what spreads holiness, spreads righteousness. So it is when we associate with Jesus that we are made holy, we are made righteous. So I always imagine it like this. If you drop a drop of ink on water, the water gets polluted, like the water spreads, the ink spreads on the water. If you can imagine a reverse thing happening, if you put something clean on something that's contaminated and the water becomes clean. So it's the righteousness that is contagious in this dynamic with Jesus, because Jesus is the cure. So renunciation says it is unholiness that is contagious. It is unholiness that gets spread. It is sin that gets spread. With Jesus, we are told that Jesus brings healing. It is righteousness that is being contagious. And so Jesus can go about in the world. He did not have to renounce human beings because he is the cure. He redeems them. When human beings associate with Jesus, when creation associates with Jesus, creation is set free from the brokenness. Healing flows out from Jesus. So in Psalm 51, as has been read out for us, Psalm 51, verse 2 to 9, David trusts in God that he can cleanse him, that his unholiness will not contaminate God. Rather, God's holiness will influence him and flow out to him and cleanse him. He trusts God for cleansing. Jesus, of course, is the embodiment, the manifestation of God. And he can go about in the world associated with sinners because he can bring cleansing. He can bring holiness. And again, not just one-time cleansing, a transformational cleansing, along with the healing associating with Jesus brings about transformation. So in other words, let's call this holiness by association. The holy men paradigm, again, these two are not contradictory to one another, they exist together, but the holy men paradigm says holiness by renunciation, by keeping yourself separate. Jesus's paradigm is holiness by association. You associate with Jesus and you become holy because you are associating with Jesus, who is the cure. In fact, if you look at Psalm 51, it's quite remarkable how David talks to God in a very relational way. And that concept of associating with God, his desire to associate with God, stands out very strongly in the text that we read in Psalm 51. Do not cast me away from your presence. restore the joy of his salvation. So it's all about, God, I want to be with you. I don't want my sin to hinder me from being with you. I want to be with you. So this association aspect stands out very strongly in Psalm 51 as well. The other part of today's message is repentance, holiness and repentance. And I just want to say a few quick words about repentance as well. In the light of what we just reflected on, what might repentance mean? I think the question of repentance is not simply, what are you rejecting today? Are you successful in renouncing XYZ? Are you being successful, or are you being faithful in rejecting and renouncing the list of things that you say? Of course, those are important as well. But I think it's equally important to ask, are we associated or connected with Christ, with Jesus? Because renunciation by itself is not the whole of what is repentance. Repentance is turning around away from those things towards God. In fact, repentance is turning away from things that hinders us from going to God. In fact, if renunciation is the only game, if renunciation is the only thing that's required, then really Jesus did not need to come to this earth, right? We can do our renunciation bit by ourselves. We can try to isolate ourselves, self-isolate, social distance spiritually, and we can manage our purity bubbles. But because there's no cure in that, and because Jesus is the cure, renunciation by itself is simply not enough. We are turning away from things to God and to Christ. In fact, we are turning away from the things that hinder us from coming to God. I was just noticing that these days, renunciation has become a full-blown industry in and of itself. Like when it comes to renouncing a particular type of diet or a particular type of lifestyle, particular technology, it's become a full-blown with the self-help books and self-help industry. And these are, again, I'm not saying that these are unnecessary or anything. These are great things. But renunciation in itself is not enough to give us holiness. In fact, if we look at the Bible, Jesus was harshest towards those people who were expert renouncers. The Pharisees, the religious elites, they were expert renouncers, but they were renouncing without accepting Jesus. They were renouncing things of the world without accepting God. So it's not just renunciation that is associated with repentance and holiness, because renunciation can be a painful, sometimes oppressive way of thinking that sometimes beat us into guilt over, oh, I'm still lacking in my renunciation. I think the other side of that, as I'm trying to elaborate and emphasize here, is association. Holiness is restored to us not simply because we renounce something, but because we associate ourselves to Jesus. And what does associating with Jesus mean? Does it mean just simply like devotional life, like reading Bible, prayer? I think it's more than that. I think anything that minimizes our role in associating with Christ and following Christ in discipleship, in the ways in which we are bringing healing to other people, we are blessing others through our jobs, through our careers, through our friendship, through our business, our intellectual endeavors, indeed, to point people to God so that they can also come into their own process of repentance. I think these are all ways in which we are associating and following Jesus. And if there's anything in our life that is hindering that process, that association and that following of Christ, those are the things that we should renounce. So just to sum it up, we turn from the things of the world that hinders us, and we turn to Jesus. Holiness is simply more than simply giving up something. It is taking hold of Jesus, the treasure and the cure. So renunciation is so that we can give up whatever hinders us from associating with Christ. That could be sins, that could be habits, that could be lifestyle, that could be fill in the blanks for that. And when we do turn to Christ, there is joy and healing. We note in Psalm 51, in verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. David knew that in forgiveness and in receiving the holiness of God by faith, there's deep joy that comes. We look at the disciples who were cleansed and forgiven by Jesus, who were embodiment of repentance. They were not brooding and beating themselves, right? Self-inflicting rules on themselves towards receiving holiness. No, we see them celebrating. We see them joyful. We see them accepting the cure and the relief that comes in being associated with Jesus Christ. I think that's what repentance is, turning to Jesus Christ, turning to God to receive holiness. Holiness brings joy, brings gladness, brings relief, brings freedom. There's a beautiful passage in Ezekiel 47 that talks about a vision in which from the temple of God, a river flows out. And the river brings healing to the nations. By the side of the river, there are trees growing. There are fruits in the trees. There's lushness, there's life, there's vitality. That is the picture of God's holiness bringing freedom, healing, and joy in the hearts of the nations. So healing, restoration, forgiveness, transformation, these are what comes when we turn to Christ, when we receive the holiness. So I want to circle back to Palm Sunday. And I want to just meditate on the word Hosanna. Hosanna means, it can be translated as many things, but literally it could be translated as save us. It's a way of crying out to God, almost praising God that salvation has finally come. It's a word of faith, of trust. And in light of today's meditation, that Christ comes to us humble and righteous, sitting on a donkey as a symbol of peace, as a symbol of invitation to us. We are invited with the crowd to cry out to him, save us. Save us because he is able to cure us from our unholiness, from our separateness from God. He is able to bring us back to God and to heal us, give us the joy of the salvation like David prayed for. So as we enter into Passion Week, and of course, not just this week, but beyond as well, but especially this week, as we enter into this week, let that be our prayer. Save us. What does that mean? We turn to Jesus like David turned to God, like the sinners and the tax collectors turned to Jesus, because only Jesus can bring forgiveness and joy and healing. Only Jesus can give us the holiness that is the character of God, who is the life giver.